Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Kino Tri Show. Whether it's ratchet or inspirational, dope or disturbing, let's talk about it. You never know who'll stop through. This dude's worldwide. So kick your feet up, relax, and let the libations flow. It's the Kino Tri Show. All the cool kids are listening. Don't be a Stanley.
Yo, everybody, what's up? And welcome to another episode of the Kino Tri Show. We are in the building. I got my partner in crime, Jamil Harley, a.k.a. Young Beige.
What up, what up? Blah, blah.
A.k.a. Young BJ and the Bear today. He got a he got an interesting jacket on. Huh? I don't know what kind of fur that is.
That's an up north jacket, though. It
I
is.
I saw 50 Cent had one on. I said, about time somebody repping the up north fashion.
It's like 49 degrees. You got to wear something warm.
And we got our special guest for today is none other than Landry.
Yo.
Yeah, there you go. I can't
AKA
even do that.
A.K.A. D-Lo.
A.K.A.
You got street names?
Lighter beige young. Young. The lighter of the beige.
A.K.A. the Blaxican.
The Mexicanadian.
The different beige. That's what.
Yeah.
So you in town for a little while. Where you been? Where you going to?
Man, I've been a lot of places. I've been traveling the country, going a lot of places nobody wants to go. And a couple places I never thought I'd be. So it's been good, man. I've been home for a better part of a week, just hitting up the open mics with you two fellas.
Yeah.
And just grinding it out, man. When you're at home, you got to still hit the stages so you don't get rusty.
Yeah, cause we was at open mic Saturday. And
let's talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yo, hey, you know where the bathroom is?
Yeah.
I really had to go to the bathroom. Yeah.
I know you did.
I was the first to go up and the first for the heckler to attack. Well, he attacked the host first.
That was a true bullet, though.
Yeah.
Hey, man, Kino did 3 jokes and he was like, give it up for the ladies.
All right.
He went through the whole lighter. Yeah. He said, that's my time.
Yeah, right. I was like, this went south fast.
Yo, that was hilarious.
And the dude was angry drunk, too.
Yeah, he wouldn't stop.
But that's how it goes, man.
That's what happens when you don't have a start time to a show.
Right.
You just like, we'll start it whenever
the dude's nice and drunk.
Hey, man, I guess the dude was like, hell, the show ain't started yet. Let me get it done.
Yeah.
And it just spilled over to the show when it finally started.
He gave, dude was probably waiting around and was like, you know what? I'm going to get messed up while we waiting for this so-called comedy show. And that's where we ended up.
Hey, that's what happened when you see that hotline bling.
So, we were talking about some of the places you've been. What's, like, the most interesting town you've been to? You don't have to give away the club or anything. But
oh, man, interesting town. I mean, I love going to Las Vegas. That's one of my favorite spots, destinations-wise. That's always interesting to walk down the strip and just see how people make their money. You know what I'm saying? Like, the last time I was there, I saw a dude holding a sign that said, for $20, you could kick me in the balls.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, is that the entire business model? Because, like, you know, I've been down and out a few times, but never once has the option of freelance nut kicking ever crossed my mind. You know what I'm saying?
You know what, I don't need these balls. $20.
I need $20.
Wow. I hope he didn't have none. And that
yeah,
was,
he probably ballless.
You know what? Maybe. You might have been a Shaolin monk. I don't know.
Do they castrate you to be a monk? I don't
know. They can pull them back inside. That's what it is. They have complete control of their body.
A retractable nut.
But I think it was just...
That's something.
Bob.
Hey, baby, get down there. Whoop, they gone. Here they go again.
Surprise!
Get busy, baby.
Peekaboo balls. Okay, that could be a nice...
That's a real teabagging right there, right?
We should come up with a product called Peekaboo balls.
Peekaboo?
That's teabagging at will right there. Now you feel, now you don't.
Jack in the Box balls.
That's what it is right there.
Balls in your face. Just cool. Las Vegas. I was actually talking about the little offbeat path,
like a little time, like Wichita.
Yeah, like Wichita,
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, and I had a city on the brain, but I forgot that fast. Benton Harbor, Michigan, like a place like that. Like,
you ain't never been to Benton Harbor.
Never. What's that like?
Ooh. Like robbery, like despair.
Benton Harbor's rough.
Is it? Is it rough?
I got some friends up there. It's really poverty
street. What state?
Michigan.
I don't think I've performed. I've been to Lansing for New Year's Eve one time. I don't really perform too much in Michigan.
I haven't did my research about Michigan, but I wouldn't even be surprised if they probably didn't have a comedy.
They do. They have a really nice one. What's it called? Comedy Castle or something like that?
Comedy Castle.
Yeah, I think it's in Detroit maybe even.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they got some comedy up there. I mean, every state has a comedy. You just have to know how to find it. That's the thing.
Yeah. I got a show in Augusta tomorrow. That's going to be interesting.
Is that a zone gig?
It's a zone gig.
Okay.
Yeah. In Augusta. What is it? The place is called Somewhere in Augusta.
It's Somewhere in Augusta. I've done that before. Yeah.
Oh, how was it?
It's all right. It's a place that they have comedy. So.
They have comedy.
I don't mean like that. They're conditioned to it. It's a long running room. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's not like a random bar gig.
Okay. Is it a bar?
It's a restaurant bar. Yeah.
Okay. This ought to be real interesting.
It is interesting. It's fun. It's gonna be fun.
You funny boy. You should come back to my house.
Okay.
I don't know why when I go to those country rooms, people always try and get you to go home with them. Like, oh, you're funny. You should come to the house with me and my wife and have a drink. No, I think I'm going to.
That could end two ways.
Right.
What's that movie when Vin Rames was tied up?
Oh, you talked about Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction, yeah.
Put the lotion
Keno
in the
Rames
basket.
Gonna
right?
be tied
nah,
up.
Hell no.
Tell me another joke.
No. going to the same place I came from.
Yeah.
But yeah, people are friendly. What's the most friendliest, weirdest thing people have offered you after the show? Like,
probably to sign their boob.
Oh.
That's probably the friendliest thing I've ever gotten. Hey, put your signature on my titty. Okay.
And when I did that. My time, I was like, okay. That's the J.
That's the J.
Yeah. Right. It's silent. It's Hamidas.
I mean, yeah.
It's silent. Hamidas.
No, I haven't really had too many weird experiences, man. I've been lucky. I hear horror stories every time I hit the road, but I've been pretty lucky myself.
Man, just talking to Mia Jackson, man,
Well, here's the difference.
I know she's a female. But
yeah. She's a funny female. She's a towering woman. You can't deny her presence.
Right, right.
And she's super funny.
Yeah.
So I don't have any of those things. I got nothing to worry about.
You got the hair, though. You got the
I do have hair. This is true.
That's
I am working on retracting my balls, though.
Peekaboo balls, I'm telling you.
We hit the road, buddy.
Yeah. Peekaboo balls. That could be some merch kind of sell after a show, like peekaboo balls or balls in the box. I don't know these
balls. The
turn the little handle and balls. I don't know the awkward silence. But anyway,
I think we stuck around there too long.
What's going on?
7 seconds after I was comfortable hanging out there.
we're gonna take a little break for the people listening online. If you want to call in and speak to Landry, myself, or Jamil, the number is 607-203-5368. And make sure when you call, press 1 so we know that you would like to talk. Until then, we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to the Keno Tri Show.
Point.
Back, shout out to C. Davis, man. He he's who you just heard on the break. Giving a shout out to the Keno Tri Show. He got his own radio show on Mondays. I forgot the station. I apologize, C. Davis, but we'll give you a shout out next week when I remember. we're back with Landry. Landry has accomplished some amazing things over the past few years. And one of the things, I remember your first win was the Boston Comedy Festival.
Yes, so, sir.
How was that experience?
2011. It was great. I mean, I was only a few years into comedy at the time, so I probably only had 8 minutes of material. So I was lucky that the round only included 7 minutes of material. So I came out the gate swinging.
So 7 minutes total?
Okay, so how the Boston Comedy Festival works is you basically have to advance 3 times to make the finals.
Okay.
So the first round, I think, is 7 or 5 minutes. Then it goes up to 7 for the semis, and then the finals go back down to 5.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you can repeat material, but it's up to you. I mean, some of the judges are the same. I try to do different stuff.
Right.
Just
right.
to keep it fresh.
And so was there somebody you saw there was like, oh, shit, they murdered. Now I'm not gonna beat them.
No, because I had to go first.
Oh,
yeah, I went first in the finals. So I went out there. It was a nice theater. They had us in, and I think it was the 8 comics, and they had a host and like an opener that did like a guest spot. So I didn't really go first.
Right. Okay.
I was just the first one in the competition.
Okay.
And I just sat back and just watched everybody murder. Everybody had a good set. There was like 500 people there. Nobody was going to bomb in that crowd.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So how long was it over just one day? Or?
No, so it takes about a week, I guess, from start to finish.
Okay.
I think my earlier round was like a Wednesday, and then I performed again on a Friday and then Saturday.
Okay, so what do you do with all that time in between?
Man, you party, man. It's a festival, so you rub elbows, you hang out with comedians from all over the globe, and you just social, you network, man. I met some of my best friends in comedy through that festival.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Partying and comedy. Crazy cocaine,
cocaine and strippers. That's the kind of word he said. You know, we partying.
Does that frighten you, man?
No, I don't.
What time of the year is that? Because Boston's
November, I think.
Oh,
yeah. What is November?
Oh my God.
Oh, it's frigid. Yeah.
The one time I went to Boston, it scared me because I took a cab from the airport going to the hotel, and so the cabbie was like, "Oh, you know, you're from Atlanta." He was Indian. I got a terrible Indian accent, so now I'm going to try.
That but, was Indian?
Yeah, he was, yeah, you're from Atlanta, you know, my sister lives in Atlanta, blah, yeah. blah, blah. And then he just, in mid-sentence, turns around, start hitting the horn, "Get out of the way, you fucking bitch." And I looked, and it was this old lady crossing the street like, with a walker, and he called her every name in the book.
Yeah, she probably had a New York Jets hat on or something.
I don't know.
New York Yankees
he
hat.
He went ballistic. Roll back up the window and just start talking to me again.
Yeah,
like,
right back to normal.
Like, so, I went to church earlier.
Right, right. I'm like, wow.
I'm volunteering right down now. At the old folks home later on today.
I was like, wow, am I going to make it to my destination?
It's funny, though. I'll tell you a story. You reminded me of a story, actually, from the Boston Festival. So I was at one of the after parties after the finals. And my buddy, I'm not going to mention his name, but... he comes up to me. He's like, "Hey, man, I'm going to need you to drive because you're the only one of us that are staying at the house that drives standard." And I was like, right. "I can't. I don't have my glasses on, so I can't drive at night." He's like, "All right, don't worry. We'll figure it out." So we party. We're drinking and whatnot. And then at the end of the night, he's like, "All right, you ready to go?" And I was like, "You all right, man?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm perfectly sober." I said, "Perfect, man." We drive home. We walk in the house, and like 6 minutes in, he's like, "Man, I don't know how we would have got home if I didn't do that 8-ball.
What?
I was, I was like, what?
Wow. Wow, hey.
I was like, damn, son.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Right?
Some people are functional on drugs.
Yo, he was, apparently.
Next time you're going to learn to keep them glasses.
Trust me. Yeah, I'm going to get LASIK just because of him.
Now, looking back after you got to where you were going, did you was like, there was an odd point where he ran a few dogs over.
No. He was coherent, man. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Oh. See, people, you can do drugs and be okay. It's, it's fine.
The statement made by Keno Trice.
You can do drugs and be okay.
You can do drugs and be okay.
These are just jokes, man. Don't want nobody trying to.
Right, yeah,
Keno
right.
Keno said it was okay. To
influencing my kids.
Right.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So, you do more than just comedy clubs.
Yeah. I do a little of everything, really, because.
Colleges.
Yeah, I try not to put all my eggs into one basket because you never know when one's going to falter. You know what I mean? So if you spread yourself out a little bit, do colleges, cruise ships, clubs, and then corporates and whatnot, then you usually don't really have a big lull in the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You can always fill it in with something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's why I did that. I like the clubs more than any other type of venue.
Because you're more free.
Yeah, you're free. You can say what you want. You're not walking on eggshells. There's no rules. You know, sometimes you play at college, they're like, you can't talk about this, you can't talk about that, you can't use this word, you can't use that word. And then the entire set, you're like, well, how about you just tell me what I can talk about?
Right.
You know what I mean? That list seems to be longer, probably. You know?
They'd be like, no, you're the artist.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Artistic freedom.
So what is your advice to the new comics or maybe not even new comics, but people that's wanting to get into those venues?
Well, I would say to work the colleges, they ask you to do 60 minutes. So if you're not bringing anybody on the road with you, you got to have 60 minutes because they hold you to it. And it's not an easy 60 a lot of the times. So usually you got to have 70 minutes,
right?
Because that 60 goes quick.
Because wow. You're not getting nobody paying attention.
Nobody's paying attention. Sometimes you're playing to the back of people. Sometimes there's nobody in the room. You just have to perform. You've been booked to perform for a certain duration, and regardless of the circumstance,
wow,
you got to fill your time. So I will say, try to write clean to begin with. You can always dirty it up if that's your style. That's cool, but a lot of times they don't like that at the schools, and it pays so well that you might as well just write clean off the jump so you can get the work, and then if you can, you can do what you want later on kind of thing.
Yeah, that college money is delicious. I got a few gigs pending on the table, and the amounts they were talking about, I was like, for real, me, little old me?
Because they have to spend the money. They have a certain amount of money allotted to entertainment for the student body, and if they don't spend all of it, they get less the next year.
Okay.
So they spend it all. Like, they got to spend every penny. So you can get some pretty nice contracts for some college work.
I want to do college. I better start writing clean. Well, do you find it hard to relate to the college crowd? I know.
Here's the thing. I started doing colleges in 2 years ago. So, yeah, 2013 is when I started doing colleges. And I think I booked about 50 of them in from three conferences that I did with APCA. So the first three that I did, I was terrible. I didn't connect. I didn't feel comfortable. But it's like a growing experience. You got to learn,
you know,
as you go.
Are you talking about from when I showcased with you?
No, that was the very first showcase that I did.
Okay. This dude didn't do nothing terrible. I don't know what
No, no. When I got to the schools.
Oh, okay.
When I had to actually fill the 60 minutes, and I've never been put in a situation where you have no self-esteem. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know that until you do it. Like, when you go on stage at a club, everybody's looking at you. Everybody wants to be at the show. So when you're doing a nooner and you're performing next to the salad bar and the only reason they're looking at you is because they think you're going to pass them the ranch dressing, then it's a blow to your ego, but you got to just fight your way through it.
Like, I don't care about your curly hair. I don't want to hear you.
Well, some of them are studying. You know what I mean? Some of them are, it's they don't even know that there's a comedy show going on.
Wow. But they bring you in for the money. Me and Jamil did a bookstore one time, and it was the same atmosphere.
Did you come to that one?
Yeah, we did. Was it Barnes & Noble on P Street?
What was that?
We did a bookstore. That just lets you know, hey, out there, hey, you do some bull crap when you got to do comedy. But
man,
we did a bookstore.
You know how when after a show, somebody walk up to you, hey, I want to manage you. And it was this woman. She wanted to manage me. I was like, I don't want you to manage me.
From Barnes and Noble?
Well,
she was in the audience?
Huh?
She was in the audience at
no,
the Barnes?
No, this was before Barnes.
Okay, okay.
I don't even remember how we met. I was at some open mic, I think, and she's like, I want to manage you. I have some connects. So I was like, I'm not signing no contract, but let's see what you can do.
Yeah.
She hit me up. She's like, I got a show for you at Barnes & Noble. I was like, what?
Like the corporate office? You're like, no. A specific location.
It was right there, the one in Lenox Mall.
Lenox
right
Mall. And the odd part about it, they were closing down like right after.
Right
so
after that.
He literally closed out.
You shut it down. He shut it down.
And look, I was like, well, I tried to put a spin to it to make me feel good about it. I said, well, that's the first time they've ever had comedy, so I made history.
Yeah.
But man, we in there. I forgot Keno was there. He went up first.
Yeah, I went up first. That was painful. Oh, my God. Walking a bookstore and start doing comedy with
people
nobody
trying to read. People
when
trying
I,
to.
When I saw the reception that Keno got, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, he's like, hey, where the bathroom at?
Because I think you only did 5 minutes.
Yeah, but it was cool because once I got going, people started listening and came over.
Oh, that's
and,
cool then.
Check it out.
But I think yeah. I had to do 25. And they was good the first five, but then they was like, they kept looking like, I'm trying to study.
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
But that's the kind of thing you get at the colleges. Sometimes, trust me, some of the shows are amazing.
Right.
And when they put it together and it's like in a theater and it's at night, usually the shows are dope and the crowds are very responsive. They like when you pick on them, you know what I mean? When you talk to them, you incorporate them, you make them part of the show. And that's kind of what I do on stage anyway, so.
Okay, cool.
I'm looking forward to doing college gigs, like full-time and some of the carnival stuff.
I did a show at Mercer, and they did it at a church.
Oh, yeah.
College grounds. And the show was amazing.
It was wicked, right? Yeah.
Because they offered me two spots. It's like, we got a 20-minute spot and a 30-minute spot. They wanted me to do the half an hour, and I was like, this is my first college show.
Right.
I'll take the 20. I was pissed after I was like, I should have took the 30-minute spot.
But, no, but that's smart, though. A lot of comics wouldn't do that, man.
They'd have been greedy.
Because when I won the Boston Festival, one of the judges was a cruise ship agent. And she was like, I want you on the cruise ship. So I want you to, you know, I want you to do some cruise ship work. And I was like, listen, I don't have the material to work a cruise ship. And a lot of people would have been like, it's money. I'll do it. But you learn real quick, man. You don't have the material you think you have. You know what I'm saying? I waited 3 years before I even called her back.
Okay.
And when I called her back, I knew I was ready. I could walk in, do a good job, get hired back again, you know?
Call me. I'm going in right now. You want 5 hours? Let's go.
So what are the cruise ship guidelines? Do they?
Every cruise ship is a little different. I've done Royal. I've done Norwegian. Those are the primary two that I've done. Royal is interesting because you'll be on the ship for five to 7 days and only perform one of them. So you do like a 15-minute welcome aboard, then like a 45-minute adult show at night, and that's it. And you're on vacation the rest of the time.
Wow.
But in other ships, you perform every day, sometimes multiple times a day. But they're all easy sets, though. It's there's actual comedy clubs on the ships now, so it's different. You know, it's not like you're just doing a variety show that happens to have a comedian on it. Everybody that goes to the comedy show goes to the comedy show.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it a different stipulation with the ones that actually have the club?
Sure, yeah, because you have to do the family shows because you'll have people from 6 years old to 96 years old in the crowd. So the entire front row might be under the age of 12, and you just got to deal with it. You got to have enough, you know, you got to have enough of clean material. And I started writing for kids just for that instance. Okay. I can't use it everywhere, but I can use it when I'm on the ship. But the adult shows, you can let loose, man. You can do whatever you want, man.
Oh, wow.
There goes that ball in the box.
Ball in the box.
That's an opener right there.
Peekaboo ball.
You can do whatever you want on the adult shows, man.
So the ships, the colleges, and then you won the World Series of Comedy. Now, how was that experience? Because I hear a lot of comics actually here from Atlanta trying to get on the World Series. We were just talking about it during the break. So how was that experience? I mean, what did the competition look like? What does the field look like and all that stuff?
It was different than Boston. So Boston, you have like a cash prize.
Right.
So the winner gets it. I think the prize pool is $10,000, which is distributed amongst all the finalists.
Okay.
Depending on what you finished. World Series is a little different. You win actual weeks of work.
Oh,
so the prize is you getting into clubs. It's all feature work. It's not headline work. So you're middling. So You got to go in there. I think there's 101 comedians, and it whittles its way down to 3 in the finals.
Okay.
And each round they add a little bit more time, which I like. I like that version better because then it weeds out the comics that only have 5 minutes.
Right.
So you got to go 5 at the beginning, and then you go 7, and then you go like 9, and then the finals is like 3 people doing 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And when you go up to 20 minutes, it's a big difference from doing 7 and 9 to go to 20.
Right.
So essentially you performing with real features or headliners.
Right. Well, they want to see that you can fill the spot, right? Yeah. So if they're going to give you the prize, you got to be able to fill the 20, 30 minutes in a club. So that's why they do that, just to make sure they know you can fill it. And it's interesting. I made the finals in 2011, and I came in second, and it left a bad taste in my mouth, right, man. So I went back the next year. I was like, I'm winning it this year. And I actually did. I went through all the rounds, and I got fortunate in the finals, man. I think I won by 1 point.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was real close.
Now, I got to see you in the Miller, with the Miller Lite. I got to see because it was basically the last show. They had like 4 or 5 comics, but it was really the Landry and LeVar Walker show at the end, because the top 5, y'all were in a whole different league, and it's just that Atlanta thing.
Some of those people I don't think were even comedians.
They made it.
I saw the videos for some. I was like, I've never seen these people around here.
Well, I mean, they made it to the top 5.
Yeah, they're from all over, man. I think I don't even know how many was on. It was the top 5? Was that?
Yeah,
one?
I think when I saw it televised, which was the final, it was top 5. It was.
Oh, so that made TV?
Yeah. It was streamed. It was streamed.
I watched it streamed. And actually, we had a bunch of people at our house watching.
Oh, that's cool, man.
For some reason. I was like, oh, that's Landry, whatever.
Yeah, it was interesting. They did that in Vegas. We did at the Flamingo. It was in the same theater that Donnie and Marie playing. It was a big theater, man. It was a good turnout. There was a lot of people there, man. Kevin Hart was one of the judges, so that doesn't hurt to get people to come out. You know what I mean? So it was a lot of fun. It was LeVar went up. LeVar won easily. He was the funniest guy on that show for sure.
And, yeah.
He was.
No, he was.
He was the funny. He didn't stick to his time, but he was funny.
Nah, shout out to LeVar. He was on here a few weeks ago, but LeVar did his thing. Both of y'all did y'all thing. I was kind of partial. I wanted both of y'all to win, but we know that that's not how it works.
It was interesting because it was one of those competitions where the winner takes all.
Yeah.
So if you get second, you get nothing. Like, you're done. They don't even give you, like...
You don't even get to go shake nobody's hand.
Right?
Second is just like you bombed.
Yeah,
peekaboo balls for you. And take your ass home.
It was interesting, man. It's the only one I've ever been in where you didn't get anything to be, like, right there.
Not even... You didn't even get connections from it? Nobody came and said, hey...
Not really. I mean, pretty much we shook hands with everybody afterwards, and everybody went their separate ways. I had brought Mia out there. She was... I was allowed to bring one person, so I brought Mia, and we just hung out at Caesar's Palace. They put us up in Caesar's, which is dope.
Oh, wow.
And, we just hung out for a couple of days. It was a cool experience.
And that was in Vegas?
That was in Las Vegas, yeah.
Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas got what's going on these days. I like Vegas.
Yeah.
I'd probably be broke if I lived out there.
Oh,
I'm a gambler.
Yeah, me too. I love craps, man. I was just out there last week or 2 weeks ago with my buddy Trix from Canada. And we gambled a lot. We had a good time though, man. He was performing at Planet Hollywood, so we hung out and just partied it up.
Man, if I lived in Vegas, I'd be fatter.
Nah, man, they're
the
super fit out there, man.
And if you want to eat for a reasonable price, you got to pay $25 for the buffet.
Yeah,
I don't like buffets.
Well, if you lived in Vegas, you wouldn't eat on the strip.
Yeah, I was like, why would you be on the strip for your own source of nourishment? I mean,
I'm thinking living in Vegas is going to be on the strip.
But everybody's real healthy out there, man. Like, everybody works out. Everybody's super fit. Like, it's one of those cities. It's like a L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
Except everybody has tattoos.
And they have some dope restaurants, like, away from the strip.
When
I go to a city,
you can eat sushi restaurants.
Thai restaurant that was off the chain.
Yeah, they got their own Chinatown, so they got all that kind of stuff.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's dope.
I didn't get to really move around Vegas when I was there. I mean, I went to see somebody, but I didn't know who they were.
Yeah,
friends.
You know, there's strip clubs off the strip, too, just in case you go back. I just play. We're going to take a break, man. The number is 607-203-5368. If you want to call in, make sure you press 1. And we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to the Keno Trice Show as I find a song for us to go to.
I love it.
Yes, we are back here on the Keno Trice Show. I think I got a caller on the line, man. A caller wants to talk to little old us. Let's see if the caller chimes in. See if we can get him on. If I can get my mouse to work. Here we go. Guess he don't wanna.
The anticipation is
killing. There we go. Caller from 317. You're live on the Keno Trice Show.
Hello. What's going on, Keno? This is Daddy-O. How y'all doing this evening?
Daddy-O, we good.
What's good, Daddy-O.
Yeah. Say hello.
I turned in, I listened
to you tonight because I've never heard you speak about, you know, your experiences as a comedian. So I was listening to Ellen DeGeneres and Oprah the other day do an interview, and Oprah asked Ellen DeGeneres some questions. Ellen DeGeneres told Oprah that as a female comedian, how hard it had been for her to get to where she was, and that she had won this contest, the funniest person in America. It was a national contest, and she won it locally, then she won it regionally, and then she won the contest. But she only had 10 minutes of material. And so she started getting booked, and she only had this 10 minutes, and so she had to improvise a lot. But because she only had 10 minutes, a lot of the other seasoned comedians got very upset with her because they felt that she hadn't paid her dues to get to the point where she was. And so she was stepping over people, but she hadn't actually spent her time. That's what I'm saying. So I'm asking you that, how important do you think it is for a comedian, if they want to get to the highest level, to really be prepared whenever they perform, to have, if somebody asks you to do 10 minutes, I mean a half an hour, you have that half an hour. If somebody asks you to do the 45 minutes, is it imperative that you have that amount of time, or, you know, try to fake it? What do you think? That's my first question. I have one other, and then I'd like you to answer that. Then I'd ask another one, if that's okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. It's funny because I just had this conversation with Jamil yesterday, I think, mm-hmm. right? It's interesting because I always feel that every comedian has their own path. Sometimes comedians blow up after 1 year. Sometimes it takes a comedian 20 years to blow up, you know. I will say this. I've always been somebody who feels that you should have a product before you ship it. You know what I mean? You should have something in the arsenal to help you on your path. It'll make it a little easier. But here's the thing, Daddy-O. If the industry wants you to be famous, you will be famous.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? They will do whatever they need to make you comfortable. So if you only have 10 minutes and you need to fill an hour, they're going to get you writers, and they're going to get you that other 50 minutes. So if they like you and they want you, they will make you famous. As for the other seasoned comedians that were jealous of her, that's going to happen. I mean, there's always going to be jealousy in any sort of entertainment. If you don't have a little bit of jealousy, you'll never strive to be better than other people. You know what I mean? You got to want it more than they want it. So that helps, and it hurts some people too, man. You see, like, that Bitter Road comic.
Yeah,
that's been on the
buddy,
road for 12, 15 years, you know, hasn't done much else other than some other, you know, some odd rooms here and there. Those guys get real jaded real quick. But you gotta keep real to yourself and just know that you put 100% in, 150%, and just keep going, and eventually something will happen. You just got to be ready when it does.
But besides, like, the industry, like, just for clubs, though,
mm-hmm.
you shouldn't.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, man. It's one of those things where if you do poorly at certain places, you'll never go back again. So you have to keep that in the back of your mind. There's always going to be – when I first started headlining, it was at Buford Variety Theater.
Mm-hmm.
They asked me to headline. I told them, I said, I don't have 45, 50 minutes. I got like 20. But they were like, well, just write it out. Just work your way to the 50 minutes. Everybody likes you on stage. That's going to help you get through this set. But I didn't have enough time to headline. They were booking features that were way better than I was. You know, that had been on the road for 10 years that filled that 30 minutes solid. And then I went up there and kind of did some jokes and then did some crowd work. And then I kind of worked my way up. But they were understanding of the fact that I didn't quite have the material at that time. Now, if I did that same thing on a cruise ship, and I couldn't fill the time, I'd never go back again. They would never hire you. You would just be blacklisted. So it's a risky game to play to want to put yourself out there and not have the material that you need.
And you got to have a connection, right? Because everybody here loves you.
The connections help. I mean, it's one of those things where it's one of those things that you can, it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's one of those things like, so you're going to get on a lot of shows just by word of mouth and another comic vouching for you and whatnot. So that does help a lot. You know what I mean? If you only have, if you've only been local and you try to get in other cities, you don't really know anybody, it's going to be tougher. But I've been fortunate enough to meet comedians from across the country from the festivals. So I have friends in almost every major market. So if I go to that city, I can get on stages because they'll tell their friends, you know, he's a good comic, let him on some stages, you know?
Ooh, yeah, that's rough. that getting on at different cities, that is real. That's real. I've had some people be real nasty.
Well, yeah, it's interesting, right? But those are the same guys that want to come to Atlanta and get on stages. You know what I mean? So it's you got to scratch. You got to let, you know, you got to scratch somebody's back and have them scratch yours back. It's how it is.
So Daddy-O, what's your second question?
The second question, Landry, is in your heart of hearts, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do you want to be like a major star? Or a major comedian, or a major star like in the movies, or you just want to be a total entertainment package? Where do you see yourself, or what would you like to do in your heart of hearts?
In 5 years, I want to be so famous that I'm in rehab. I want to be getting weaned off something. That's what I don't know. Here's the thing, man. I think about this a lot, and I think I'm going to move to L.A. and pursue some other endeavors. I wouldn't mind getting into the acting side of things. But here's the thing. If I don't make it even as an actor and I'm only a stand-up comic for the rest of my life, I would be okay with that. Because a lot of people can't do what they love to do. I'm very fortunate to go out, and my job is fun. Like, I enjoy it. I want to fly to different cities. I want to perform in front of different people and meet new friends. That's a good life, you know what I mean? So if it ends with comedy where it started, I'm okay with that.
Cool.
Yes, sir.
Did you get your cup runners over there, Daddy-O?
Yeah, just about. You know, I'm gonna be looking for him, though. He's got the personality, I think, and he knows how to deal with people in a certain way that I think that whatever he does, whatever endeavor he pursues, I think he'll do quite well at it. You know,
I'm gonna be up in your neighborhood there, man. Are you still in Indianapolis?
Oh yeah, where?
Yeah, this Sunday.
This Sunday.
Do you remember the venue? Alley Cat?
Yeah. It's Alley Cat, Daddy-O.
Where is that at?
I don't know. Google it.
I have no idea. Yeah, I just know that my buddy Tom Dustin put some things together. So I'm going to be in your city on Sunday.
Said Ari Spears is supposed to be there.
You're going to be at Alley Cat.
That must be something new, like the one downtown. So I think it may be a venue downtown. So
yeah, I think it's downtown. I looked it online. It's like a bar.
Oh, yeah?
They have live performance.
So come on out, man. We'll catch up.
I definitely do that. What time were we? Was it evening, afternoon?
It's got to be evening for sure. I don't know the details. I probably should.
Landry and Mia don't ever know.
Right.
I just know where I got to be, what day.
Landry and Mia hit me up talking about, hey, you want a feature for me? Yeah, what's the detail? I don't know about it.
I just know it's on Tuesday.
Well, we'll make sure you get the information, Daddy-O. Thanks for calling in, as always. You're our favorite caller, and sometimes our only caller.
Okay, well, let's try to do better.
We're going to put you on hold, but thanks for calling. Keep listening.
All right.
We are back. That was interesting. It was an interesting dynamic of, like, where you see yourself. I never really think about that. I just keep going. I don't know where I'm going to end up. But
I get depressed. That's why I don't think about it.
I told you, Jamil, you can't be famous. God is doing you a favor. I said, if you get famous, you're dead in 3 months. Damn.
These are the type of friends that I have. And if Mia was here, she would chime in with something even worse.
Yeah.
So you're about to do this run. You say you're hitting 3 states. You said Ohio.
No, we're just going to Ohio and then Indiana.
Just
and
Ohio,
then I'm
Indiana.
Back next week doing a college showcase for APCA. as well as being at the Improv next weekend. I'm middling for Eric Griffin.
Oh, okay. So do you ever get to a point where, like, you know what? I need a break. I need to take a vacation. Or do you schedule
that? Yeah, I schedule vacations. But when I do the vacation, I'm like, man, I need to get back on some stages. Like, it's so quick. You get withdrawals. Like, comedy really is like a drug. Like,
you
feed off the laughter and you enjoy it. And then when you don't do it for even 4 days, you're like, ooh, I'm starting to itch and scratch. And I need to get back on stage and get my fix.
Well, can you use that as a time to do your writing, come up with some new material, or is it just you write while you're?
It's funny because I'm weird when I write, man. We try to write all the time, and sometimes I just sit there and I don't come up with anything for weeks. I'm just writing down random thoughts and nothing. I go on stage and nothing really hits, and then all of a sudden I'll hit one thing, and then just a tidal wave of just, oh, I can take it here, or I can take this. Like, I just started doing this one bit about Britain, my time in the UK. And it went from one sentence, and now it's like a 4-minute bit, and it flourished in like a week. Sometimes, but I probably won't write again for like 3 weeks. Nothing. I'll write stuff, but none of it'll work.
I mean, because you cultivate that one, so you don't really, you're not focused on anything else but getting that tighter.
Oh yeah, this
tighter,
is the one
tighter.
I'm working on. Yeah. So yeah. The way I do it is, like, when I write a new joke, I do it at the beginning of my set. A lot of people say work the new stuff in the middle, right. But I've always been, I guess, bold in a way that I want to do it at the start, because I don't want to forget to do it. Because you know when you get into autopilot,
you will,
you're like,
forget it,
do, 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 and you're like,
it's,
oh,
going
here we
good.
Go.
Okay, that's my time.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, I forgot to do it. So I want to do it at the start so I remember to do it. And I feel as though if the joke works at the very beginning of your set, it's a good joke, and it'll work at any point in the set.
Right.
So it could be an opener. It could be a closer. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how I attack material. So I do it at the beginning. And here's another thing, too. If it doesn't work, you have the rest of your set to get the people back on your side.
Yeah.
You know,
I've seen you do that. I've seen you come out with some new stuff, and you'll say, okay, well, that didn't work. Let me get to the real stuff.
Yeah, because
rip this up in front of you.
You got to try it, man. You never know. It's such a process of elimination, man. You don't know what's going to hit. There's things I've written 6 pages on the topic and thought it was going to rip, and not one punchline worked.
Wow.
And you're like, what did I just... why did I think that was funny? You know, nobody thought that was funny.
Right.
Just me.
Yeah, that's usually my story. I'll write something, and I'm like, I'm gonna kill him.
Right.
Get in there, cricket.
Man, I get that Jeff Justice look. You know, after his dudes deliver a punchline, they
yeah.
Waiting for the clap.
And you're
do.
Yeah, and then you'll just say something one night on stage, and you get a huge laugh, and you're like, oh, then I just write something about that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I do it a little differently now. Instead of investing, the time to write 6 pages on a topic, I'll go on stage with an idea. If the idea seems like it'll be funny, if they're reacting to it, then I'll sit down and I'll write it out. Okay. But if I go on stage and everybody's like, what are you talking about? I was like, all right, I'll just...
I wasn't saying anything.
Yeah, no, don't worry about that.
Balls in a box.
Balls in a box.
Peekaboo balls. Here you go. You want that?
People going to be hitting you up on Facebook. What's up, peekaboo balls?
Yeah. You're going to get your own page with that thing.
Well, cool. So where can we find you on social media?
Everything is real easy. Comedian Landry. So if you want to go to my website, it's comedianlandry.com, Landry. I got the links to all my social media and, contact info and all that stuff, man. So it's real simple.
And you're kind of mysterious in a way, because I try to put together a flyer for this show, and the pictures I use on the flyer are basically the only pictures you have. I mean, that don't.
I'm underground, baby.
Stuff,
I'm the funniest comedian you've never heard of.
He's mysterious.
No, and you know what's weird?
Like, I need a flyer. Give me some pictures. Take about 30 days to get one picture.
But here's the thing: like, I'm not. That's probably my weakness in this industry is social media.
Yeah.
I'm not on it a whole lot, and I know that's the wave of the future, and you kind of got to – I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to do Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that. I'm not great. You know, there's people I know that send out 100 tweets a day.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never be that guy. Yeah. I'll never be him. So
too much stuff to do.
Yeah, yeah, I got, you know.
Well, you know, when you're more popular, you're hiring assistants to do all that for
to
you.
To do all the stuff, yeah. So what you're saying is – I'm not popular enough yet to be relevant on social media.
You're getting there. You're getting there.
I told Landry he needs somebody to follow him with a camera and, like, really get some footage and chop up some stuff.
I think that would be fun, man. Maybe, like, just, like, a couple weeks on the road.
Yeah.
I would do it, but I got a job, so I can't.
I only went full time 2 years ago. So
yeah, I remember.
I had a day job, full time day job. I started 8 years ago, so 6 years took me to go full time.
Now you had a job that used to sit at for a while, and he used to hit me up on Facebook. Yo, what's up, man? They're getting on my nerves here.
Yeah, it was rough, man. I was the only person. I was the youngest person in there, and I didn't belong.
Yeah,
I just didn't belong in office life. I just felt like I was wasting away behind the computer. And eventually they did me a favor and quit the job for me.
You know what? We're just going to quit today. Is that all right with you?
Sure. How about you just put your 2 weeks of notice in right now?
We'll get you some unemployment.
Well, cool. Thanks for stopping by, man.
We're
having some amazing guests for those people listening and not listening. But we have an amazing guest coming through. I just want to give a promo to a show that actually – Jamil and myself and a few other dope comics are doing this weekend, this Friday night. It's called the Fresh, So Clean, Guilt Free Comedy Show. And we're not cussing or having adult content. So
we're not supposed to.
I'm cussing, goddamn.
So it's at the Decatur Art House, 619 East College Avenue, Decatur, Georgia, 30030. Admission is $20, man. Come on down. This has been put on by Big Corey. Big Corey is the former owner of the popular 300 Club in Athens.
Really?
So, yeah, he's doing big things.
Athens. I thought you were talking about the bowling alley.
No. In Athens, there was called 300. I think it's 300. That they said in the 90s, early 2000s, that was the club. They still call the club 300, even though he doesn't own it anymore.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Changed another name. That's how significant this place was. So, he's promoting comedy. Big shout out to Corey for actually putting us on. So, and it's a payday, so we'll take it.
There you go.
So, in the future, man, make sure y'all keep listening. Next week, we're going to take a break, so I'm going to put some old shows up on social media. Then when we come back, I think we're going to have Drew Thomas from Last Comic Standing, Craig Kilborn. Drew's done everything, so we're going to have him here so y'all can listen. And until next time, be good, have a great week, and we'll talk to you later on. Peace.
See, it deserves the outro noise, don't it? I told him that, man. Show the sideways, make it in the air. Let's move it.